The Chicken Yogi Show, the podcast that brings you spiritual wellness discussions from the Chicken Yogi, Kit Kilstow. Broadcasting from their homestead, the spiritual home of the Akiyam Institute, Kit helps you find the magic within to overcome life struggles and live your authentic life. Their focus is on what they call trauma-sensitive spiritual wellness, the ability to tap into your inner magic and access your spiritual self with supportive, nurturing care. Listen to deep dives on spiritual topics, as well as practical tips to create the magic you need to live well and live authentically in the Chicken Yogi Show. Welcome to the Chicken Yogi Show. In this week's episode, we'll be talking about how grief affects the subtle bodies. I don't think that a lot of people, especially those who work in grief therapy or grief healing or grief support, really think about grief's effect on the subtle bodies. And for the most part, unless, like myself, you're into yoga and yoga philosophy and Eastern philosophy, I'm not sure that the subtle bodies are really clear. So let's begin by talking about the subtle bodies. And if you haven't yet picked up my free course on grounding and getting connected, there's also a discussion of subtle bodies there, and you can get that at chickenyogi.com/free gift. The subtle bodies are more than just our physical body, the body that contains our senses, that we can see, that we touch, that we move around the world. That's our physical body. And within our physical body are four subtle bodies. They're called koshas, and they're considered to be sheaths or layers which encase our soul or our essence, depending on the terminology that you like to use. So right beneath the physical body is the prana body. And this body is the energy body, and it contains your chakras, the nadis, which are like little energy superhighways that connect your chakras. It contains your energy centers, your life force, and that is immediately beneath your physical body. Beneath that is your mental body, so that's where your thoughts are held. Beneath that is your emotional body, so that's where your emotions are held. And your innermost layer is called your bliss body. And your bliss body is where your joy or your bliss is held, and it is what actually encases the soul or essence. We know that grief has a physical effect on the body. The broken heart syndrome, where somebody within about 6 months, or oftentimes sooner, as we tragically saw with a recent gun violence event here in the U.S., somebody who has lost a loved one, whether that's through caretaking and the natural progression of aging, or whether it's through a sudden act of violence, usually the people closest to them will have health issues come up within about 6 months. This happens a lot with widows and widowers. People who are caretakers often find themselves dealing with medical situations, especially if it was really involved 24/7 caretaking. And this has to do with grief's effect on the body. Grief causes stress. We're grieving. We're missing the person. It's like there's a hole in our lives. And so this stress, it doesn't affect just the physical body, but as you can probably imagine already just from hearing me talk about it, it affects your mental and your emotional body when we think about the traditional 5 stages of moving through grief. And I'll probably get these in the wrong order, but, you know, denial, bargaining, acceptance is the last one. So yeah, I got these out of order. There's a couple other ones as well. But when we think about those traditional 5 stages, they happen at a physical level, but they also happen at a mental and emotional level. Bargaining may be more of a mental or mind exercise rather than the depression or the anger that comes. That's an emotional response. And so we can actually see, even with our Western model of grief, that grief moves through the subtle bodies. What does this mean for us? How does this help those of us who are dealing with grief? And in fact, you may be wondering, you know, hey, Kit, the world is such a horrible place right now. Why are you even talking about grief? Well, the reason why I'm talking about it is because if we don't address grief, if we don't attempt to work through it, if we don't attempt to move through it, because it never really goes away. Your grief is going to stay with you. And most of us, especially if you're, you know, closer to middle age or maybe beyond middle age, we're going to lose people in our lives. The one thing that nobody can escape is death. The human body is a mortal body. And that means that our physical existence will have an end, and that end will affect the people around us. That will affect our friends, our family, if you still have family around. For some of us who are getting into middle age, those family members are starting to become few and farther between. But your passing is going to affect the people in your immediate circle, but there will also be ripples, and it will affect people that you may not even know. Twitter and social media really brings this to mind. As somebody who is an advocate in disability spaces, quite often there will be the notification that somebody who was in those spaces have passed away. Some of them I've heard of, some of them I know, some of them I don't, but I can't say that even the ones that I don't aren't touching on some level, because any death, whether you happen to see the obituary section in a newspaper, whether you hear about a famous figure passing, it causes you to pause and reflect on your own mortality, and there is a grief there. Because grief doesn't come just from death, although certainly we have seen more than our fair share of that during the pandemic, and there's a collective grief that happens when we think about how many lives have been lost and the great weight of that. And especially when you start to put into numbers like, you know, 1 in 5 or things like that, all of a sudden that brings it a lot closer to home than if you did not have anybody who was tragically lost due to the pandemic. You know, again, think about that in terms of seatbelt safety, automobile safety, airplanes. I mean, we could apply this collective grief to any situation where there are a not insignificant number of lives lost. And of course, whether the depth that those touch you probably depend on whether you work with that community, whether you know people who are a part of that community, or whether, you know, that number is large enough to grab your attention. And I think that we need to think about this collective grief. When we think about other things in the world that are happening, child hunger, child poverty, you know, it hurts my heart to think about children going hungry. That should not be happening in our country. That should not be happening in the world. And so, again, we think about what are we doing to alleviate that, but also how do we cope with that cultural or systemic grief? And there are some cultures that have more grief than others. When we think about the treatment of indigenous people, Black people, when we think about violence against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, when we think about the various cultural connections and cultural events that happen that maybe don't touch us personally, but again, you may be living in an area or with a culture that has not been affected by that. And I'm speaking as a white woman. I have not been affected, for example, by the systemic violence that has been impacted on our communities of color, but it hurts, and it's something that we need to work to fix. And that is cultural grief, and how that grief is carried depends a lot on your closeness to it. So what does that have to do with the subtle bodies? Well, I think that has to do with the fact that we can't expect grief to just go away. I think that is the collective answer to grief, and a lot of times, oh, it'll fade over time, it'll go away. And like most emotions or most things that are not healthy for us, unless we can make some instant socioeconomic changes and systemic changes, it's not going to automatically go away. And I think it's very naive and harmful for somebody to say, oh, you know, your grief will go away. grief does not go away. Now, there's a meme, I shared it in a blog this week, about if you think of grief as a ball that's sitting in a jar, a lot of people think that the ball or the grief gets smaller over time and it diminishes. The truth is in the second line of the meme, where the ball of grief stays the same, but the jar or the container gets bigger. And that's where our subtle bodies come into play. Our grief does not become less. I lost my mom in 2019. I'm sorry. She became profoundly sick in 2017. But I lost her in 2019. And I can tell you that on just a superficial level, yeah, my grief feels less. I'm no longer breaking into tears when I think about it. There was a lot of guilt, a lot of those survivor feelings that, you know, I had to work through, and those have largely been, you know, taken care of. But the truth is my container, and not necessarily my physical body, it's about stayed the same size, but my spiritual body, my capacity for hope, my capacity for love, my capacity to handle the very complex facts of my mother's existence, that those actually became larger inside me as I moved through the stages of grief and as I worked with my grief. And I'm still working with my grief and still dealing with grief, you know, for a great many things. And so when we think about those spiritual bodies, the bliss body, the most inner one, the one that's commonly depicted as the smallest one, that bliss body will change in size because it may feel very, very small in the aftermath of a loss. You may not feel as if you're capable of finding bliss or finding joy ever again because of the darkness of the pain. And at some point, you slowly begin to see, you know, the joy around you. You can stop. You can find enjoyment in nature, in your hobbies and things that you used to do, in people. You know, you can go out to dinner with a good friend or a life partner. And, you know, for those few moments that, you know, an hour, 2 hours, it may feel like that grief hasn't happened. And you may walk out of that restaurant and think, oh, that was fun. And then you may realize that that's been the first time in a long time you've had fun. That's part of the normal grieving process and working with the grief. And that's your bliss body learning to expand again, to breathe again. We have the mental and the emotional bodies. Those two bodies work together in many regards, but they learn to hold that grief, to deal with if there was complex issues around that person when they were alive, or complex issues or feelings or mixed feelings around the death. And that happens quite often, especially when people pass away after a long illness. There is the, I don't want this person to be gone. I don't want this person to be out of my life feeling. But then there's also, this person is no longer in pain. This person has found some measure of peace, which may be quite profound if that individual had a hard time finding peace in their lived experience in their life. And so when we start to work with these dual messages, with holding these conflicting thoughts, that is your mental and your emotional bodies stretching and expanding to accommodate that love and those thoughts about those people. So how do you do this? Because obviously, if you're dealing with a loss, going through day-to-day living can be very difficult. Just getting through, you know, okay, you know, today I had breakfast, I went to work, I'm going through the motions. Just that going through the motions can be extremely difficult when you're dealing with the heaviest aspects of grief. The most important thing that you can do at any time, but especially in that time, is to let yourself feel whatever you are feeling. One of the ways we really hurt ourselves is to push the grief down and move on. In our Western culture, I'm an American, so I'm speaking from the position of an American employee, but you're lucky if you get 2 or 3 days for bereavement leave. I think I got 3 days when my dad died suddenly due to a very late diagnosed cancer. And basically it was shove that grief down, go back to work. You're not allowed to have feelings when you're on the clock. that is very harmful. That causes long-term issues, long-term mental, emotional, physical issues. And what happens is you never properly deal with that grief. In other words, that big ball, if we go back to that mem, that big ball is sitting there in the jar that's not getting any bigger. That big ball is sitting there taking up space, and you're just kind of, you know, you're like, it's in a very cluttered room. You're like going, you know, oh, I gotta walk around it. Oh, I gotta pretend that this isn't there. And you do that long enough, and it becomes almost automatic and reflex. And I can tell you from personal experience in doing that, when my mother passed away, even though it was a good 10 or more years later, it was all of a sudden like, oh, there that is. There that grief is. And you have to suddenly work through not just the death of one parent, but both parents. And so what happens when we shove that grief down is it just sits there, and I don't want to say it rots, because that implies a negative emotion, but it doesn't decompose. If I were to take a loaf of bread and put a loaf of bread outside, and provided the wildlife didn't get to it, which, you know, probably would happen, but if I put a loaf of bread outside and just let the elements happen to it, eventually that loaf of bread would disintegrate into the dirt and it would compost and become nutrients. Your grief doesn't do that unless you actually physically work with it, unless you actually make that container smaller to accommodate it. At some point when you do that, your grief becomes something sitting on a shelf, and you're like, okay, you know, this is my grief shelf. Here is my grief for my loss of my mom, my dad. I can visit this, but I'm okay, and I'm not going to, you know, break down into a horrible mess when I do. That's what it means to make your container bigger. You actually are, you know, to keep with the construction metaphor, you're building annexes and galleries and dealing with your emotions, and you know it's there. So I got a little off track, as often happens. But when the most important thing you can do is feel whatever you're feeling, and know that whatever you're feeling is valid and it's real and it is okay. Again, we push down the grief. We feel like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling so sad. You know, it's been X amount of weeks, X amount of months. We push those feelings down and we tell ourselves we shouldn't feel them. My dear, if you're feeling whatever you're feeling in that moment, that is your feeling, that is real, that is valid, and allow yourself to feel it. And it could get messy. I mean, you might cry, you might sob, you might just completely break down. And I don't know about you, but I hate crying, because then my glasses get water spots on them, and then I got to clean my glasses, and it's just such a bother. But, you know, it happens. If you need to cry in that moment, forget about cleaning your glasses and cry. Feel those feelings, because when you feel those feelings, you're acknowledging their truth. And one of the most powerful things you can do to make your subtle bodies expand to accommodate those feelings is to acknowledge the truth. The third eye helps us to see the truth that is not necessarily revealed. If we, you know, think about the prana, or the energy subtle body, with our chakras and with our nadis, the being able to look at an emotion and realize new things about that emotion, realize new ways in which somebody's touched you, that's a very third eye thing to do. It's a very intuitive thing to do. And that will help you see, for example, new aspects on your relationships. That will allow you to deal with, you know, somebody whose life maybe wasn't neat and tidy, maybe who's somebody whose life, or that grief that didn't fit into a neat box. And this is especially so, I've been speaking a lot about the death of people, because that's commonly what we think about: loss of a person, loss of a beloved pet, when we think about grief. But there, grief can come from any loss. It can come from loss of the person you were before. Maybe you're suddenly dealing with a chronic illness and you can no longer do things that you used to do, or you can do them, but you got to plan and it's a little more difficult. You need to grieve who you were before. You need to grieve that loss. one of the best ways is to feel those emotions. You're going to be angry. Oh, you're going to be pissed. And I don't mean that in the British way. you know, you're going to be angry. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be furious about the loss of function, about people who could have helped you and didn't along the way. That grieving is just as valid as somebody who lost a dear loved one and is just bereft. And you're going to go through those five stages of grief. You're going to go through that. And again, by feeling those emotions, by working with those emotions, you're going to be able to expand those energy bodies. So how else can we do that? I like a movement-based practice. I like this one because I don't feel like we move our bodies enough, especially those of us who spend a lot of time at the computer. Going for a walk in nature, even a slow walk, has many therapeutic benefits. Yoga, you knew I was going to say yoga. I like yoga because I can go slow. I can focus on what it feels like in my body in that moment. I can focus on my breath. And that really allows me to get out of the monkey mind or the day-to-day, you know, to-do list in my mind and really allow me to feel into those subtle bodies. You know, what emotion is coming up in this moment? Am I close to finding my bliss? Am I working with my bliss body? What are my thoughts like? What, you know, when you're able to do that with a movement-based practice, that helps to ground you and helps to integrate things. I, you know, am a big fan of sitting and thinking, but again, don't do that too long. You don't want to ruminate because rumination kind of gets you stuck in those patterns and gets your subtle body stuck where they are. Journaling, talking to somebody. And it doesn't have to be a therapist somebody, but there's nothing wrong with that either if you have that access to speak to a grief hotline, to speak to a counselor, to speak to a therapist about what's going on, if you find somebody who's willing to work with you on that. But speaking to a good friend, speaking to a pet, speaking to a stuffed animal. If you have, you know, a stuffed animal that reminds you of the person, you can speak to them and you can get your feelings out and you can do that for them. There's many different ways to work with those subtle bodies. And that's a lot of what I do at Chicken Yogi, the pranayama, the tapping, the breathing, the yoga. Those aren't just esoteric new age things to do that sound very woo woo. They actually have real therapeutic benefits. Again, I have to say it, I am not a substitute for any medical, whether that be physical or mental health practitioner. I am not licensed. Therefore, what I'm doing is offered in the spirit of education, in the spirit of support. And I fully encourage you to seek out that Western medicine, whether that's physical or mental health, or seek out Eastern medicine, to seek out, you know, acupuncture, seek out Ayurveda. Oh, I said that wrong. I'm sorry. But seek out those complementary practices. Reiki. Oh, Reiki is so beautiful for just reminding you that you're loved. And a lot of the battle of dealing with grief and dealing with the subtle bodies is just receiving that life-giving energy, just receiving that Reiki energy or any energy healing work, regardless of what modality you use, sound healing, crystal healing, energetic healing, music, whatever you do there, that will help work on those subtle bodies because they work at subconscious levels that we don't even know about. When you're listening to a beautiful song and emotions come up, that's that song working on a subconscious level. So there's a lot of things you can do to work through grief. And this is a topic that I think I'm going to be expanding on because it feels really important right now. It feels like something that I feel moved to speak about and to share about and to work through and to help people with. So thank you so much for listening. As always, this has been the Chicken Yogi Show, and I encourage you to like, follow, and share me on all the social platforms. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast player. Please be kind to yourself. Blessed be. Thank you for listening to The Chicken Yogi Show, the podcast that brings you stories and wisdom from the chicken yogi, Kit Kilstow. The Chicken Yogi Show is presented on the Akiyam Radio Network and is supported by Chicken Yogi. Learn more about Kit's work at chickenyogi.com. Sign up for free Reiki and spiritual support, or schedule a paid session for more in-depth work. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow The Chicken Yogi on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, as well as the podcast that you're listening to. Listen to all episodes and get show notes at chickenyogishow.com. Thank you for listening.